We're going to take a look at a passage that is, I guess you could say, a standard, especially in churches, what you might call faith churches or what have you. And it's about confession, and well, really it's more about the Word than directly confession, but the element of confession is in this. Nevertheless, pick it up here in verse 13. Jesus is speaking, talking to the disciples, and he just taught them or given to them the parable of the sower. And he said, "Know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now I want you to look there in verse 20. Look hard in verse 20. What is it that they're bringing forth? Fruit. Not meant to, you know, be a trick question or anything. They're bringing forth fruit. Now Jesus said, "The sower soweth the word." Therefore, the fruit that is brought forth is directly connected to the Word. Said a little bit differently, without the Word, there can be no fruit. Now, this is really interesting because that means that if I want to know what kind of fruit I'm going to bring forth, all I have to do is get into the Word. Now, sadly, a lot of people have taken this passage and turned it around. And the 30, 60, and 100 fold, they associate it with blessings that come forth as a result of your offerings. And there's nothing in here about an offering. Nothing. The sower sows the word. There's nothing in here about sowing money in an offering plate. And it's amazing to me how that we can sit through services, you know, year after year, And watch these guys on television, and they're telling you, they quote from this, they read from this, and tell you, you know, you need to sow your offering now. But there's nothing in here about offerings. Nothing. Now, if a preacher stands up and insists that this passage is about sowing your financial seed to receive a 30, 60, 100-fold blessing, I just don't know that I'd ever want to listen to that preacher again. Because he's telling me he really does not know what this passage is all about. It's not about sowing money. It's about sowing the word. Here's the problem. If you hear this passage read and associated with offerings, and you hear that continually, maybe not every week in every service, but you just keep hearing it, and then you go home from church and you tune in and you're watching Christian television and you hear it again. And then you read people's books or you listen to other people's teachings and you hear it again. Over time, that is what becomes embedded in you. And you automatically assume that is what this passage is talking about. But if you stop long enough and go back and just read it, there is nothing in there about offerings. There's nothing in there about money at all. Jesus said, "The sower sows the word." Therefore, if this has nothing to do with offerings, the 30, 60, 100 fold has nothing to do with a return on an offering. But it does have something to do with the return on the word. And Jesus said in that 20th verse, when the word is sown on the good ground, then what you're going to do is bring forth fruit. So if I'm sowing the word, and I'm going to bring forth fruit that is directly related to the word, then that means I ought to be able to go into the Word and find out what this fruit is all about. I mean, doesn't that just seem to make sense? Well, look over in Galatians chapter 6. We'll continue with this over here in this particular chapter. Galatians chapter 6. Now when we get there, I'm giving you a moment to find it because I want you to follow along with me. Sometimes I just refer to scriptures, but you know, I want you to see this. We just read where Jesus said, "The sower soweth the word." And we just read how that the fruit is going to come forth, therefore the fruit has to be associated with the word. Now in Galatians chapter 6, pick it up in verse 7. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Well, that's what Jesus just got through saying over there in Mark. Yeah, sower sows the word. Time's going to come where you know you're going to reap this harvest, or you're going to bring forth the fruit. But I want you to see something here. Notice he says, "He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, remember, this is written to Christians. This is not written to lost people. Now, he says, "He that soweth to the Spirit." You'll notice that word Spirit is capitalized. Let me ask you something. Well, knowing that word Spirit is capitalized, and knowing that, generally speaking, people associate a capital S Spirit with Holy Spirit, if I sow into something, let's just think of the natural for a moment, okay? Let's say that I go to a field and I buy a patch of land. And I say, "I'm going to be a farmer." And so I buy this big old patch of land. Well, here, you know, comes fall, harvest time. And I'm talking to one of my neighbors who just got finished harvesting this, you know, this massive amount of corn. And I am fussing and I am complaining. I said, "I just don't understand it. You know, I spent good money for this land. They told me this was good, rich soil. But I want you to look out there. Ain't nothing out there. Nothing. And I don't understand it. Where's my corn?" And my farmer friend says, "You're from the city, aren't you?" I said, "Well, by the way, I am." He says, "Let me ask you something, city boy. Did you ever sow corn in that field?" And I look at him like, "Huh? What do you mean?" He says, "Boy, you need to understand. You're not going to get corn if you don't sow any corn. Sure, you've got some rich soil out there. And I know you paid top dollar for it. But if you don't go out there and sow into the ground, you're not going to get any corn. In other words, there's nothing in it right now." Now, here's what I'm getting at. The only reason you would sow into something is if the something you're sowing into does not currently have that which you are sowing. Do you understand that? Don't make me repeat myself. I don't even want to try. In other words, if the corn was already in the ground, I wouldn't go sow it. So here I am, city slicker. I figure the corn's just going to grow. Well, it doesn't grow unless you sow that corn or the beans, or, you know, or whatever it is you sow. If you want it, you've got to sow it. That means it's not in there right now. Look at this verse. "He that soweth to the Spirit." Now, I know that's a capital S. Let me ask you something. What does the Holy Ghost lack? What's he missing? He's God, is he not? Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes, he's God. Okay, what does he lack? He lacks nothing. Why would I sow into him when he already lacks nothing? Therefore, I'm not sowing into the Holy Spirit. I'm going to be sowing into something which presently lacks. Well, what is presently lacking? me. I'm born again. But I need to sow into my spirit. What did Jesus say? The sower sows the word. Well, I'm not going to sow the word into God because God gave the word. He's not lacking the word. So therefore, the spirit into which I am sowing is my spirit. And so he says, look, he that soweth to the spirit, my spirit, shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. So I am sowing into my spirit so that out of my spirit I can reap the fruit of life everlasting. Now, back up into chapter 5. Verse 22. But the... what's that word? Fruit. You see that? The sower sows the word. I sow to my spirit because my spirit needs it to be sown so that it can bring forth. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, I've taught on this before, but real briefly. Again, we see the word Spirit is capitalized. Now, I know that those are the characteristics of God. You know, the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I know that. But the fruit of the Spirit, it's fruit. See this? Sower sows the word and brings forth fruit. If I sow to the Spirit, which I've already figured out, I'm not sowing to the Holy Ghost because He's not lacking anything, so I'm sowing to my Spirit. Therefore, in Galatians 6, that word Spirit should not be capitalized. Likewise here, the fruit of what? My Spirit. Where have I been sowing? To my Spirit. Do you see this? There's no lack in God. So I'm sowing to my Spirit. And as I sow to my spirit, I reap life everlasting. And the fruit of what I am bringing forth is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. In other words, the sower sows the word. And as long as that word doesn't get stolen or crushed or, you know, destroyed, whatever, then the result is going to be, I'm going to start bearing fruit, bringing forth fruit. Well, what fruit am I going to start bringing forth? It's fruit that is connected with life everlasting. What fruit is connected with life everlasting? That fruit which is of God. What fruit is of God? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Everything about the very character and nature of God Himself. This is what's supposed to come forth. This is what I'm supposed to be bearing in my life. We get so caught up with all the material stuff and the things of the world. And yet Jesus said, you need to understand the things of this world are going to perish. They're going to burn up. Everything you have. You know that TV that you just bought? It's going to burn up. Peter even wrote about how that even the elements themselves are going to be dissolved in a fervent heat. There is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. No corruption will exist. Now look over in John chapter 1. With all of this in mind, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So here we see a connection made between Jesus, God, and the Word. Now jump over to chapter 15. John chapter 15. And again, keep all of this in mind, what we've seen so far about the sower sows the Word, and about sowing to the Spirit, and about the fruit of the Spirit. In John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now let's just stop right here for a moment, real quickly. You know, Jesus said over there in Mark 4, sower sows the word, and you're supposed to bring forth fruit. And a lot of prosperity teachers tell us, well, you know, that's money, 30, 60, 100-fold money and all. But this right here where Jesus talks about beareth fruit in verse 2? I can tell you right now, you'd have to be an absolute fool to think he's talking about money in this. So if he's talking about non-money fruit in John 15, why in the world would I start thinking he's talking about money fruit in Mark 4? Makes no sense whatsoever. See, you've got to keep in mind, one of the keys to understanding the things that Jesus taught is that he always taught of the kingdom of God, the spiritual things, first. That was always the priority. If you approach his teachings first from a natural perspective, then you will miss the overall picture of what he's trying to get across. So now here he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The sower sows the word. As the word is sown, it has a spiritual cleansing effect. It says so right here. You're clean through the word. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The sower sows the word. Remember, if you don't sow it, you can't bring forth anything. So he says right here, abide in me. You as a branch, you can't bear fruit of yourself. What fruit am I supposed to be bearing? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc. Spiritual fruit. He says, you can't do this by yourself. You need help. You need the word. I am the vine, verse 5. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. There again is the need to sow the word. And notice this whole thing of the abiding in him. The way that it's presented here, it's a choice. It's not an automatic. See, you can be born again. I mean, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. But that does not mean you have chosen to abide in him. To see him as your source for everything in your life. He says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, sower sows the word, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So there again, getting my prayers answered has a lot to do with the sowing of the word into my life. Because what happens is, the more I sow the word into my life, the more the things I ask are going to be related to the word. Then I won't be asking for stupid things. He says, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So the Father gets glorified by me bearing fruit. What kind of fruit? Not a 30, 60, 100-fold money return on my offering, but the fruit of the Spirit. He gets glorified as I bear this fruit. And bearing this fruit is connected with sowing the Word. My Father is glorified if you do this. And not only that, but as you are in this process of growing, developing, sowing the Word, glorifying the Father through the bringing forth or the bearing of much fruit, guess what? That is proof that you are a disciple. Sower sows the word impacts your ability to be a disciple of Jesus. As the Father, verse 9, hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now he just said a few moments ago, abide in me. If you abide in me and I abide in you, if my words abide in you, and then he says, continue or abide. And this word continue, in the Greek, it's the exact same word that was translated abide earlier in this chapter. There's no difference. It's the same word. So we could say, abide ye in me, abide in my word, abide in my love. So now we see a connection between sowing the word, bearing fruit, and love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Now look at this. He says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. And he's talking about abiding in Him, abiding in the vine, bearing the fruit. What did we just read over there in Galatians chapter 5? About the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first one? Love. Sower sows the Word. I'm supposed to be bringing forth fruit. And now I'm seeing a direct connection between love and this fruit and the Word and abiding in Him and the completeness of everything He wants being done in my life. Now, let me say it another way. Love is the fertilizer that enables the rest of the fruit to come forth. I need the love first. The fruit of the Spirit is, first and foremost, love. Why is that? Because God is love. That's what it says over there in 1 John. So God is love. I sow the Word. And the more I'm sowing the Word, the more I'm conforming to this image, the more I'm becoming more of what He wants. And the end result of that is I start bearing the fruit, the spiritual fruit. Here's the thing. When I do that, I stop thinking about how much I don't have in life, and I start realizing how much I do have. Speaking in terms of Christmas, my Christmas list of wants becomes shorter and shorter. Because I just want to be a vessel of His love. I just want to abide in Him. Now, let's take it a little bit further here. I want to read some things to you, and then we're going to turn to another passage. In fact, I'll read one verse to you. You don't have to turn to it. But in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Well, Jesus said, "Father, sanctify them with Thy Word. Thy Word is truth." So the fruit of the Spirit, that which is born forth out of my spirit, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, I want you to look over in Proverbs chapter 11. I was going to just read this one to you, but I want you to see it. Proverbs chapter 11. We're going to read one verse. Verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. Now, if there was ever a prophetic verse in the Old Testament, man, this is it. He that winneth souls is wise. But he says right here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Well, I just got through reading over there in Ephesians that righteousness is related to the fruit that I bring forth out of my spirit. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Well, didn't he say over there in Galatians that if I sow to the Spirit, I'll reap life everlasting? So in other words, one of the things that's going to begin to be produced out of me is the very life of God. Now, what comes along with the life of God? I want you to think about this. What comes along with the life of God? Healing. What is sickness? Sickness is the early stages of death. Because if your body is not able to fight off what we call the common cold, by the way, did you know that to God there's no such thing as a common cold? All sickness is uncommon in the kingdom of God. But if your body is not able to fight off what we call the common cold, you will die. Because that virus will continue to multiply in your body until it kills you. It'll turn into, you know, pneumonia and all this other. It will kill you. Thank God for the bodies that we have. I mean, if you're not going to believe in divine healing, at least keep your body healthy and strong so it can fight off these things that want to kill you. Well, he says right here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Now look over in Isaiah. With that in mind, Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And just, this is a prophecy as well, but I want you to pick this up here in verse 1. You'll recognize it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. How many of you are recognizing this? What Jesus said.
over there in Luke. Preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Remember what Jesus said over there? He said, My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. Well, what do trees do? They bear fruit. The planting of the Lord, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Now look here. And they shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Notice he doesn't say in verse 4, I'm the one who will do this. Notice he doesn't say in verse 1, I'm the one that's going to go out there and do all this repairing and all this fixing and all this changing. No, what he says is, I have been sent to make it possible for you to become a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that you can bear the fruit that will produce the verse 4 fixing of all of these things. What is a New Testament parallel to this? Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, you shall do also. Jesus said, you'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You'll cast out devils. In other words, you're going to be this tree of righteousness, and as this tree of righteousness, you're going to bear the fruit of love, joy, peace. You're going to bear the fruit of the very life of God Himself so that you can accomplish all these things right here in verse 4. You shall be the one to do that. Have you ever considered that one of the reasons that a lot of these things aren't happening in our lives or in the lives of our friends and family members is because we are not bearing the fruit that enables us to do verse 4. Jesus said, I've been anointed by the Spirit of the Lord to declare unto you, verses 1 through 3, to do for you, verses 1 through 3, so that you can become the end of verse 3 and then do verse 4. I'm supposed to be bearing this fruit, see? Now look at another place. Well, no, in fact, I'll tell you what. Let me just read this to you. And you can be turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as you're turning, listen, just listen closely here. In Romans 6:22 it says, But now, being made free from sin, a manifestation in your life of Isaiah 61 verses 1 through 3, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. So the fruit that I'm to bear is everything about the holiness. God said, be holy as I am holy. It's everything about His holiness, His position, His standard, His character, His nature, everything about Him. This is the fruit that I am supposed to bear. Now I'm going to catch up with you here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to pick this up and in verse... Let's go to verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, with everything that we've seen so far in the Word of God, sower sows the Word and then bears fruit. What fruit? The fruit out of my spirit. I sow to my spirit, I reap life everlasting. I'm to be a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, bringing forth the fruit, so on and so forth. And we know that this is spiritual fruit. Where he says here in verse 10 that we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, what do you think is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ?
There will be judgment, will there not? Goes without saying. What do you think is going to be the primary focus of the judgment? What did Jesus say? My Father is glorified when you bear much fruit. Now listen to this. I was praying on this, praying about all this. He said, putting it in, you know, terms for us, we will be judged according to our fruit, not by operations of the gifts of the Spirit or by the ministry gift to which we were called. We are going to be judged by our fruit. I'm in this body, and it's my responsibility in this body to bring forth out of my spirit the fruit of the Spirit in this life so that I can do Isaiah 61 verse 4 for the people who are around me. I'm going to be judged on that. Now, does that mean that if I commit sin, I won't be judged for my sin? No, that's not what he's saying here. Our first level of judgment, if you will, has to do with the fruit. Let me just read it again. We will be judged according to our fruit, not by operations of the gifts of the Spirit or by the ministry gift to which we were called. Now, I know some people, because of a lot of things we've heard in the past where some things have been preached, somebody might say, well, no, I don't believe that because you're going to stand accountable. You know, if you were called to be a pastor, I mean, even you, Brother Jim, you've even said if you've been called to be a pastor, you're going to be judged whether or not you were, you know, walking in that role and instead of trying to be an evangelist or something. And I have said that. That's true. But relative to how we're going to be judged, yes, we'll be judged as to whether or not we fulfilled our calling. But first and foremost, he's going to be taking a hard look at us according to what it is that brings Him glory. Well, what is it that brings Him glory? That we bear much fruit. And one of the things that we've been taught is that, you know, maybe you've not heard this, but that this fruit has to do only with the lost being won to Jesus. That's not true. I mean, we did read over there in Proverbs that the wise win souls. You can't deny that. But He's glorified as we bear fruit. See, here's the thing. As we bear this fruit, souls will be won to Jesus. In fact, bearing this fruit will make soul winning a lot easier. Just take a look at the life of Jesus. What He did. He bore this fruit. And man, people couldn't get enough of Him. And if it had been possible right then and there, during Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, for Him to have gotten all these people born again, He'd have done it. They'd have gotten born again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The problem was, He hadn't gone to the cross yet. That's why He left it up to the apostles and everybody since that time to lead others to Jesus. He bore the fruit, and look what happened in His life. Likewise with us. We bear this fruit. People are going to be won to Jesus. Absolutely. Look in Matthew chapter 7. I want you to see a passage of Scripture that kind of goes along with this, that bears this out. Matthew chapter 7. Remember, and I'll read it again to you. We will be judged according to our fruit, not by operations of the gifts of the Spirit or by the ministry gift to which we are called. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what is the will of the Father in heaven? Well, go back and read John 15. Abide in me. This is the Father's will. And He's glorified that you bear much fruit. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now the point I want to make is, there's a whole bunch of good stuff going on here that these people are talking about. But the judgment isn't first and foremost on what they did. It's what they were bearing, if you will. Listen, you can't bear the fruit, the spiritual fruit, and not know Him. Because He said, unless you abide in me, you can't bear this fruit. So as you're abiding in Him, sower sows the word, you're abiding in him, this fruit is going to become a byproduct.
Now look over in turn back over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We will be judged according to our fruit, not by the operations of the gifts of the Spirit or by the ministry gift to which we were called. The fruit of the Spirit is God's nature in our born-again spirit. That fruit is supposed to be dominant in the operation of our ministry gift or ministry calling. In other words, as I'm out there, you know, serving as an evangelist, this spiritual fruit is supposed to be the dominant factor in my call. Well, I thought we're supposed to have the gifts of the Spirit operating. They will operate. As you're bearing the fruit, you're going to see a manifestation of these things. That's why he said what he said in Isaiah 61, verse 4. When you become the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, you're going to end up doing Isaiah 61, verse 4, bearing the fruit that brings these things to pass. When we turn around and we focus so much on power and anointing and the blind eyes and so forth, and sometimes, you know, I'm probably at a fault in this because it can come across that maybe I'm emphasizing it too much, but I want to try and set the record straight here today. The goal is to bear the fruit of the Spirit. These other things will be a byproduct of that. If we conform to the image of Christ, these other things, the demonstrations of power, will be a byproduct of that. But if we're focusing on power and anointing, what we're actually doing is getting the cart before the horse. We're trying to go out there and harvest corn where no seed has been planted. And Jesus said, look, the sower's got to sow the word. You know, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap this life, the life of healing, the life of deliverance, the life of, you know, whatever is needed. Now notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 7, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I mean, that's sandwiched right here in the middle of all of this. And in verse 10, he talks about being judged for the things that we've done in this life. And in verse 7, he says, you're supposed to be walking by faith, not by sight. Let me share with you what the Lord shared with me. Living by faith is about, one, getting back to God's will. Two, fulfilling God's will. And three, obeying God. That's it. Living by faith is number one, getting back to God's will. Number two, fulfilling God's will. And number three, obeying God. That sounds so simple. But think about this. What's one of the things that God said to do? John chapter 15, love one another. You can't love one another if you don't forgive one another. It's impossible to walk in love and hold unforgiveness towards somebody. You can't do that. It is impossible. I love them, but I just can't forgive them for what they... Then you don't love. Because God says we're supposed to love as we are loved. So the way He loved us was to forgive us and then decide not to remember our sins or iniquities ever again. So therefore, if you're loving them the way you're supposed to love them, it doesn't matter what they did, you forgive them. This is a commandment. That's why this walking by faith can be so difficult. A lot of people say they're living by faith, but yet they've got unforgiveness toward people. You can't do that. Now, listen to what else he said. Living by faith is not about what we can do on our own without God. Anyone can do, quote, can do for God, but it takes faith to do it God's way. Anyone can, quote, do for God, but it takes faith to do it God's way. Anybody can go out there and start a church, and you can build a church. You know what it takes to build a church? Money. That's it. So all it takes to build a church is money. Because if you've got enough money, you can buy all the land you want, all the buildings you want. You can hire in the best talent. You can do all kinds of stuff. All it takes is money, and you can have yourself a massive mega church. So anybody can do for God. But living by faith means doing it God's way. And that's the challenge.
sitting back and waiting until you figure out what is God's way. Now, listen to this one. Without faith, it is essentially impossible to bear spiritual fruit. Why is that? Because the only way that you can bear fruit is to do it God's way. That takes faith. Just being nice, atheists can be nice to people. That's not spiritual fruit. Bearing this fruit he's talking about is literally demonstrating the pure character of God in everything that you do. Now, sadly, I'm not there yet. But I'm closer than what I was, you know, a few years ago. And if I keep doing it God's way, you say, well, what is God's way? Where did we start? The sower sows the word. You say, well, you haven't said one thing about praying in tongues. All right. Then I shall do that. When you pray in tongues, what's happening? Well, Brother Martin, it's very clear from Scripture. You've shown us in the Word that when we pray in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit ministering to our spirit what we're supposed to pray forth in that divine language straight from heaven. That's right. Now, who is it that's giving you those words? Why, it's the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? Why, He's the third person of the Godhead. So the Holy Spirit is God, right?
Right.
So the words that you're praying when you're praying in tongues, whose words are those?
Well, they're God's words.
Now, if they're God's words and you're speaking them, what are you doing?
I'm sowing the word.
Think about it. Have you at all begun to catch on in all these years how much religion has kept us from God? When I stand up and I say praying in tongues is God's word, do you realize some people would flip out at that?
Well, I know the Bible is God's word. Well, who gave us the Bible? God did. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. What's that word inspiration mean? Divinely breathed forth by the Holy Spirit. When I pray in tongues, what's happening? The Holy Spirit is giving me what to pray.
So he's basically repeating himself. What he did in 2 Timothy, all Scripture given away. So I am being inspired by the Holy Ghost to pray.
Yes, but there will never be any more Scripture.
I didn't say I'm creating Scripture. Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
But I'm praying the words of God. Now, do you think God's going to have me pray anything that is outside the boundaries of this book? No. So that means whatever I'm praying in tongues lines up with what He has said in His Word. I'm sowing to the Spirit. This isn't difficult, but religion has just messed it up. And then we sit back and we hear something like this, and it's like our minds begin to go goofy. It's like, well, it just can't be. That just can't be. Why can't it be? If that's what's revealed in Scripture, why can't it be? It's because Satan has so subtly moved into the body of Christ, through our churches, through our denominations, to get us away from these truths. It is essentially impossible to bear this kind of fruit without faith. The sower sows the word. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. This is not complicated. What it takes is faith to believe it. The goal is to bear the fruit. Everything else falls into line. Bearing the fruit, that's just another way of saying conforming to the image of Christ. Variation on the theme. So, try to get your mind, and this is where a lot of the charismatics and all miss it. They focus so much on power, so much on anointing, so much on tingly-winglies. You say, what is a tingly-wingly? Barry can tell you after the service. And all that, that's secondary. God wants us being those trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to bear the fruit to fulfill Isaiah 61 verse 4. I want to be fruity. Hallelujah.